Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for coming this evening to this wonderful Sunday festival program. It's wonderful because we get a chance to associate with so many nice devotees, and we get to see their lordships, C.C. Rukmini Dwarkadish, Shigorni Thai, Jagannath Swami, Baladev Subhadra. And we get to discuss this wonderful nectar that the Lord has given us in the form of Bhagavad Gita. But then what makes it even sweeter is that we get to hear from Srila Prabhupada, who's made all of this available for us. Because in actuality, we wouldn't be here without him. I think everyone can agree to that. I mean, we might be in the street somewhere close by, but we wouldn't be here in a Hare Krishna temple. At least I wouldn't. So we're very fortunate to have this message being given to us by His Divine Grace. And this is something we're going to talk about this evening. We wanted to discuss a little bit about one of the Chatur Shlokas in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is summarized. The essence of the Bhagavad Gita is given in four verses, which are in the 10th chapter. And just like the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has, 18,000 verses, those 18,000 verses are summarized into four verses. So the 800 or so verses that we have in Bhagavad Gita here are also summarized in four very concise shlokas or verses given by the Lord, instructions. Verses given by the Supreme Lord, which helps us to understand the purpose of Bhagavad Gita and the purpose of our being here, which is important. There are many questions and certainly plenty of answers as to why we've come into this world and what is the purpose of it. And so many people have taken sacred scriptures such as Bhagavad Gita and given their own interpretation. And hardly a one, and we don't say this out of arrogance, but hardly a one has produced a devotee of Krishna before Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Hardly a one. As if anyone has heard of anyone, please let me know. But Srila Prabhupada, in his presentation of Bhagavad Gita, has made it so simple and easy for us to understand that anyone and everyone can appreciate Krishna's words and become a devotee. And really, that's the purpose of our human form of life, and that is to absorb our minds in thoughts of the personality of Godhead. So, and why we want to discuss that this evening. Why should we? Why not absorb ourselves in Michael Jordan or Microsoft or Mercedes-Benz, which a lot of people do, which is getting them nowhere except a lot of anxiety. But if we absorb ourselves in the words of Krishna, one experiences immediate relief from the anxieties and pressures of material life. So we're going to be reading from text number 9, and I'll read the verse and translation and purport, and then we'll go on. Text number 9. Machchita madgata prana bhorayanta parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tashanti charamanti cha Translation, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the chastened, loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. That's just like Jack and the Beanstalk, right? It's great. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits. And the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 9:19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12:13:18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pradastaya Vudale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamani Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatari Shatarini Mukham Guruti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Kipatam Ham Vande Sigurum Dinatarinam. So here it's being very nicely pointed out by Srila Prabhupada that the symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically, which is very, very important, because there are many persons who profess themselves to be spiritualists, countless people. And every day there's a new one. So how to distinguish between those who may be genuine and those who may be cheaters? Right? This material world is cheaters and the cheated. People work very hard, and they're at the end of the week, you're always feeling that you got cheated. Oh, I didn't get paid enough. Or I didn't get enough breaks. Or I didn't get enough this or that. Or the employer is saying, hey, you didn't work very hard this week, Joe. You need to pick it up a little bit. So how to distinguish between those who are genuine and those who are not? There has to be characteristics. Just like a sick person has a certain symptoms, right? Maybe feverish or exhausted or irritable. So similarly, one who's situated in spiritual consciousness has also symptoms. And those symptoms are being very nicely described here by the Personality of Godhead, wherein he says, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So the devotees of the Lord, whose characteristics here are being mentioned, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that they engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In other words, they're not idle. There are, if we could please ask, in other words, they're not idle. That, in other words, what is that saying? You have to walk the talk, right? You have to walk the talk. If you're going to be speaking about business, you have to be a good businessman. You have to know what you're talking about. There are so many motivational speakers who go out and inspire people to be successful in their work. We have a very nice devotee, actually, in the Hare Krishna community. His name is Peter Burwash. And he's a motivational speaker. His business is to go and speak to CEOs and presidents of corporations internationally. And he's been doing it for many, many years. Srila Prabhupada encouraged him because he could use that to inject Krishna consciousness. He's so expert that he's been able to inject Krishna consciousness within his presentation. And even I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but he has a professional tennis training company. They train professional tennis players. And to be a member, you have to follow the four regulative principles. You have to engage in regulated chanting. You have to be vegetarian. It's very, very interesting. He's been doing it for years, and he's quite successful. So the point of all of this is that it's not that as you have to be able to walk your talk. That's the point. It's not that a devotee is, or a spiritualist. We talk about spiritual life, and I remember going to mass on certain days, and then afterwards, and you'd hear the discourse given by whoever, and then afterwards, and everyone inside the church would give their support and amens and everything else. And then afterwards, everyone goes out and has a smoke, or they go across the street and do some other useless thing. So, no, not that kind of spirituality. There has to be some urgency. That's the point. The devotees of the Lord are engaged, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, fully in devotional and transcendental loving service of the Lord because they understand the urgency of it. That's the point. Just like if you have some sickness, if you have some illness, you don't just sit there and wait for it to worsen, unless you're really into suffering. Is anyone here into suffering? No. No one here is into suffering. So we do our best to try and stay healthy. So when disease strikes, you do your best to remedy it as quickly as possible. In other words, there's a sense of urgency. Oh, I realize that this problem could get worse, and it'll affect so many other things. So there has to be a sense of urgency in practicing one's spiritual life. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukha Doshanu Darshanam. He explains that knowledge means to understand the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. So one has to have some information. You have to be aware, conscious, that there's Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. Birth, death, old age, and disease are right there. They're right there. So we have to feel that a sense of urgency. So knowing that, here is described that the devotees engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. The wonderful example is given in the Bhagavatam of Maharaj Ambarish, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. Vaikuntha Vachangsi Gunana Varnane. Maharaj Ambarish would absorb his mind so fully that there was no interest in anything else. No interest in, because again, if one doesn't learn how to control that, particularly the mind, like Arjuna says in the 6th chapter, Chanchalam Yimana Krishna Pramati Balavadritam, he explains that the mind is so turbulent and restless and uncontrollable. And we all have that experience. Our mind, we're thinking about eating, or the next moment we're thinking about school, the next thing we're thinking, oh, my toe hurts, or my car, my insurance, all this, the gangs that are after me. You know, there's so many anxieties that people are having to deal with. So the mind has to be fixed and not, as Prabhupada explains here, cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. And their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. They're not interested in other kinds of conversations. The world is full of information these days. People are bombarded by so much information. right? I think it's, what do they call it, the information, age of information or whatever, something like that. It's so confusing. You can't even figure out what they're saying. But there's so much information out there, but really, what is that information? Srila Prabhupada points out here, the symptoms of the pure devotees are that they are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Lord. Just like we have these news stations that they're 24 hours a day, they're broadcasting their information. And it's the same old information, just in a different dress. It's the same old thing. Birth, death, old age, and disease. The sufferings of material life. So, to counteract that, the devotees, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And those pastimes are ever fresh. And it's not that one loses out or something is lacking. There's a very nice instruction given by the Lord Himself in the 10th canto, where He tells His devotees, Mayi bhaktir hi abhutanam amritad bhaya kalpate. He explains that those who are engaged in devotional service, for one who engages in devotional service, that person is qualified for eternal life and attaining me. That's why we want to discuss what Krishna has to say. That's why we discuss what the great devotees of the Lord are giving us. That sort of subject matter is totally of a different nature. Because that sort of subject matter qualifies one for going back to the spiritual world. And that's really our business here in the human form of life. We're not interested in any other business in this world, but to understand Krishna and become attached to Him, and understand the urgency of it. Krishna tadiya parapankaja vanjanantam advaiva vishutame manasaraja hansa. King Kulushekhar sings one very, very beautiful verse in which he describes that may the swan of my mind sink to the stem of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead and become entangled in its network. Otherwise, at the end of life, when my throat is choked up, I may not be able to think of you. And if anyone's seen the passing of anyone, it's a very difficult time. Very difficult. And to think of the personality of Godhead in that condition, it's a real challenge. It takes a lot of control, determination. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj describes, dharma bhagavatam iha, from the very beginning, one should be trained in spiritual life, in spiritual practices. You've heard that saying, how it's very difficult to teach an old dog new tricks. So there's no better time than now, actually. Now that we have this wonderful information in front of us and an opportunity to participate in this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada points out here, their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. Krishna says later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam paramam guyam madbhaktesha bhashati, that the devotees of the Lord who share this message, who engage in discussing this subject matter, their liberation or devotional service, for that matter, is guaranteed. Just by discussing this kind of knowledge, this kind of information, devotional service is guaranteed. And in the end, you come to me, Krishna. So, again, that's our business. Our business here is to discuss what Krishna has to say. And by remembering that, we're guaranteed of an opportunity for devotional service. And in the end, at the end of this life, which, again, we don't know, we can't give any prediction, it can happen at any moment. We've heard this instruction many a time, padam padam yad vipadam natesham, that every step in this material world is full of danger. We can't say when our time is due. So therefore, there has to be a sort of a sense of urgency that I want to practice this process and perfect my life. So Srila Prabhupada points out here that in the preliminary stage of devotional service, or in other words, sadhana bhakti, one relishes the transcendental pleasure of the service itself. Just like the devotees can relish making flower garlands, or cooking for the deities, or cleansing the temple. These are the preliminary activities of sadhana bhakti. The regulated activities, rising early, chanting, following the regulative principles. We may not necessarily have a genuine taste for them. Sometimes it may be a little difficult to rise. Sometimes because the mind is so difficult, it may be hard to chant. Or sometimes it may be even hard to stay in the association of devotees because there's so much agitation for one reason or another. But it's described here that if one simply continues with those preliminary activities, hearing, chanting, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, paradasevam, achranam, bandhanam, there's so many nice devotional activities which are there. Devotional service is so nice that there's so many different things. There's something for everyone. It's not that, again, well, I can only do this, I can only do that. No, actually, devotional service is so nice that, and variegated that anyone and everyone can become attracted, even if you just like to chant the holy names, or even if you just like to eat, which we'll be doing here shortly. So, whatever your interest is, if one simply practices those, as described here, that gradually that devotional service matures to raga bhakti, or more spontaneous. And when one comes to that spontaneous platform, then one begins to relish, as Prabhupada points out here. Relish the highest, they can then relish the highest perfectional position, which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. There's a very nice statement by Bilva Manga Thakur in which he says that if I am engaged in devotional service to you, my dear Lord, easily I can perceive your presence. That is the nature of devotional service. When we engage in the practices, the regulated activities of bhakti yoga, one can actually perceive how Krishna is there. Again, in the preliminary stages, it may not be there because we're just washing pots, or we're just mowing the lawn or something. But gradually, as one becomes more and more purified, one can, and that service becomes more spontaneous. Krishna, you can feel the presence of Krishna. We can actually feel the presence of Krishna within the deity. We can actually feel the presence of Krishna within the holy name. Or we can actually feel the presence of Krishna in the conditioned souls that we're speaking to. There's an actual exchange. There's an appreciation. So that is the, again, the mystery of bhakti yoga, spiritual life, that you can actually perceive how the personality of Godhead is there simply by regularly engaging in the activities of bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada especially points out this chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Especially, and if for some by some great fortune, as Prabhupada points out here, there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee, because we've been traveling. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev is described. Prabhupada relates that in this purport here, how the living entities have been traveling for millions of lifetimes. It's not, this is not our only birth, and it may not be our last. We don't know. But the living entity has been traveling for many, many lifetimes through many, many universes, countless. But if somehow or other, if one is fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee, and which is, we can't estimate, we can't describe how important that is. There's a very nice instruction given by the devotees in the 10th canto, and they're speaking to Lord Krishna. Tava katamritam tapta jivanam. Kavibhya iritam kalmasapaham. Shravanamangalam shimad atatam. Bhuvi grananti ye buri jhajana. The devotees are praying, the gopis specifically, they're praying to the Lord and describing that the nectar of your words and descriptions are the life and soul for those who are suffering in this material world. Actually, Krishna's words, whether we're reading Bhagavad Gita or whether we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are the descriptions of the Lord, or we listen to the beautiful songs, the beautiful love songs, which are given by the great Vaishnavas, just like here at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada points out, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association, people are intrigued, they're fascinated by this subject. But also the Vaishnavas, conversely, they're attracted. They're supremely interested in the supreme loving couple, the supreme love affair between Radha and Krishna. And they write these beautiful love songs like Gopinath. I was listening the other day to one beautiful song that Srila Prabhupada was singing, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Daya Kore More. And you listen to his voice and you can feel the love that is just emanating from him. It's a genuine love affair. People are, again, interested in this mundane idea in this world. But the real love affair is between Krishna and his devotees. The real love affair is hearing about the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Govinda. Radha Govinda Rukmini Dwarkadi, same thing. Hearing about their transcendental affairs are like nectar for those who are suffering in this material world. And who can say we're not suffering? We're struggling like anything. We're struggling with the mind and the senses. Marakshastan Indriyani. The senses are dragging us here and there like anything, without any regard, without any mercy, right? Without any mercy. They don't care. They just, Billy, you got to eat this. Billy, you got to drink this. Etc. It goes on and on and on. And the mind is right there. Yes, absolutely. That's the right thing to do. No, do this right now. No, do that over there. Well, no, let's go over here. It's a madhouse. Actually, it is. This body is like a madhouse. It's a you go to the fun house in the circus, and there's all sorts of weird things that go on, right? There's crazy mirrors and ghosts and sounds, and this body is like that. It's full of all sorts of ghostly things, crazy things. But here is described that the activities, the words and activities and descriptions of the Lord's activities are like nectar, amrita. It's nectar. Everyone wants some nectar. They want some relief. We're talking about relief. We're not just talking about a drink. But actually, when you hear the activities of the Lord, it's also like drinking nectar. It's so soothing and satisfying. For those who are suffering, kavavir iritam kalmas sapaham. And this, these narrations are transmitted by learned sages. They're not being given by just some character on a soapbox. I used to live in Chicago, and and they had this one city called or area called Old Town. And in Old Town, you could find a there was a particular corner, and they have them in so many places around the world, wherever. But they had a corner where you could stand on your box, on a soapbox or some kind of a box, I don't know, and you could stand and you could spout your philosophy, right? You could just yell it out. It was like a free speech area. it was a mad area, because there were all sorts of weird people that went did their thing. So, no, not that kind of information. We're talking about information which is being given by learned sages, people who are exalted personalities. They're liberated. They're not interested in this material world and the illusions that people are so controlled by and deluded by. No, these great sages are learned people. And these descriptions are being transmitted by such great personalities. And these descriptions, they eradicate or they drive away the sinful reactions. Kalmasapaham. They eradicate or drive away all of the sinful reactions of the living beings. They're so powerful. Krishna's words and Krishna's descriptions are so powerful that they drive away. Immediately, people go away. They can't, or the sinful things, they disappear. You're protected. You're protected. And those who have no interest and who are antagonistic to Krishna, they'll go away. Absolutely. So they drive away these sinful reactions. And they bestow benedictions. Not only do they drive away, but they also bestow benediction. What a deal. Not only are you being purified, but also Krishna is giving you a benediction. What kind of a friend can do that for you? That not only do they help you, but they give you something on top of it. They give you a pure love of God, Krishna consciousness, spiritual consciousness. So these descriptions and these words of Krishna, just like when we read Bhagavad Gita, it's ever fresh. It's not old. Even though it's given some thousands of years ago, it's still fresh. And the proof is that if you follow the process, if you execute what Krishna is giving, you can experience it. That is a benediction. That's a benediction in itself. That realization. So these descriptions and words, they eradicate one's sinful reactions and they bring good fortune. So, and then finally the last line is bhuvi garananti ye buridha jana, that those who are giving this information, certainly they must be the most munificent. They're certainly the most munificent. And as Prabhupada points out here in the purport, And out of them, there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee. Wow. And get the chance to understand devotional service. How fortunate we are to have had the opportunity to hear from the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. It's great. It's a great fortune. And such personalities are most munificent. Their only interest is sharing this knowledge so that that seed of devotional service, that bhakti lata bij, can be planted in the heart and it can grow, just like Prabhupada is describing here, the jack and the beanstalk. It's growing off into the higher planets, ultimately up to Goloka Vrindavan. And once reaching there, it matures and one develops wonderful qualities, as Prabhupada points out here. The devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana. One develops those wonderful qualities, such as religion and knowledge and renunciation. These are godly qualities. And they develop in one who practices this process carefully, who's had the opportunity to come in contact with a pure devotee and has had the privilege of devotional life. It's actually a privilege. We're so fortunate. We're so fortunate to have this. Srila Prabhupada points out here, the Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Amala Purana, it's the spotless Purana. By hearing it, it's non-different. Srila Prabhupada points out here how it has nothing to do with material activities, economic development, sense gratification, nothing. We have no interest in economic development, sense gratification, or even liberation for that matter. Our only interest really is in developing that devotional mood and a purifying heart. Srinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. When we, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take pleasure in hearing. It's so important to hear. And when that hearing process is done properly, then the heart becomes purified. That hard knot of material attachment is loosened, and gradually it becomes purified and Krishna wants to reside there. Tvam bhakti yogi pari, tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja. The Bhagavatam describes that that the devotees see the Lord by the process of hearing. And when hearing properly, the heart becomes purified. And when the heart is purified, the Lord takes his residence there. The Lord comes and he resides. And he's so merciful that he, what's the word? He manifests. Right, he manifests a particular form which is attractive to that devotee so that the devotee can think of him. Just like now we're discussing the wonderful pastimes of Prahlad and Lord Nrsingadev. Or if you hear the wonderful pastimes of Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev. All these devotees, they have a particular attraction to the Lord, a particular mood of devotional service. And the Lord is so kind that he manifests himself so that they can, in a particular form, so that they can appreciate him, so that they can focus their mind upon him. Just see how wonderful Krishna is. So this is a very interesting, very profound instruction that Krishna is giving us. And we are just touching on some of the words that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And again, it's... to hear about Krishna and his pastimes and to become attracted to them is really the perfection of life. And if we can do that, then our lives are successful. So we'll end there. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for
having me. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. It's by Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we're all here. You, myself, all of us. There's no doubt about that. If we just have to just always remind ourselves because of our condition, our minute and forgetful condition, we lose sight of that. And we start thinking that it's meant for me to enjoy. But no, actually, all of this is just for Krishna's enjoyment. All of you are here for Krishna's enjoyment. You have a great opportunity to sit before him, and he enjoys looking at you. Yeah. Any other questions? Hare Krishna. Prasadam.